budget work session. Let's rise for a moment of silence and a pledge. Pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a motion to adopt our agenda this evening?
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Anything to add, tweak, or adjust? Hearing none, if you're in agreement, please signify by raising your hand. Motion carries. So tonight we're here just to talk budget, so I'll let you guys open up. Unless you're already open, I won't stay taller in.
Good evening. It's March 3rd, 2026 at 6:30 p.m. This is a joint meeting of the Cumberland County Board of Supervisors and the School Board. This is the call to order. Let me see. Ms. Branch, please call the roll.
Mr. Hamlet?
Here.
Mr. Newman?
Here.
Ms. Tyree?
Here.
Mr. Simpson?
Here.
And I'm here with Mr. Saunders. There you go. Say here.
And now, if you would please join me in our invocation. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with your grace. Lord God, as we make decisions that might affect residents of Cumberland County, and continue to remind us that all that we do here today, all that we accomplish, is for the pursuit of truth, for the greater glory of you, and for the service of humanity. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
And if you would please stand.
We already did that. We do it again.
On to
great country.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda? But our board is not seeing the agenda. So we have three things: approval of the agenda, budget workshop, and adjournment.
That's it.
So really, just budget workshop. Mm-hmm. So do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Hamlet?
Aye.
Mr. Newman?
Aye.
Ms. Tyree?
Aye.
Mr. Simpson?
Aye.
Mr. Saunders?
Aye.
And now budget workshop.
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Dr. Hoyt and I have been working a lot on this, along with everyone in the room. We did a true survey of what our schools needed. We started with wish lists, and then we had to pare that down. And it's been a huge learning process for us, but tonight we want to talk a little bit about our focus moving forward, as well as how we want to partner with you all and make sure that this benefits the community. We're going to start with our goals. So our priorities in this county partnership is that we are good stewards of taxpayer funds. That's really important to me, and that's one of the things I've really emphasized, is when we're doing things, make sure that we're making the best choice, not just for our students and our school division, but also for the county and the taxpayer dollars. We want a strong partnership with the school division and the county, and I really thank those of you that made time to come by and walk the grounds and see what we have going on here, and that conversation, I think that's really meaningful. We have successful and high-achieving schools. Sometimes there's a lull in the action, but we are definitely on the upswing. Everybody's working really hard. The high school's distinguished based on last year's numbers. The middle school is not a focus school or TSI school. It's just working to be slightly off track, Mr. Moyer, is that correct? And we're right there on it. And then the elementary school is on the upswing as well. So we're really working hard and meeting those student needs. Capital improvement is also another one of our focuses. We're starting to get to the point where our buildings are aging a little bit and some of our facilities need some work and some renovation, as well as sometimes in some cases like our bus area, a new facility altogether. So those are our focuses as we go through this partnership. Here's our enrollment. So this big number up here includes our 85 pre-K students, but they cannot be considered part of our enrollment when we go into budget process. So we have 1,147 students right now enrolled in Cumberland schools, and that's what our ADN will be based off of if they took it today. And 16% of our students are students with disabilities. Total staff, full-time, part-time combined is 251. We offer a lot of opportunities for our kids. There's after-school programs through the 21st Century Grant. We have a lot of athletic programs going on. We just transitioned out of winter sports into spring sports. Some of you may have seen the baseball team out in the front field practicing when you rolled up here today. We have a lot of clubs where kids can be active and engaged, not just at the high school level or middle school level, but even at the elementary level. They have a lot going on for kids there. The VHSO activities, that encompasses not just athletics, but also our speech, our drama, our forensics. All of those things come under that. We are sending kids currently to SVCC for welding and HVAC. Hopefully next year, if things work out, we'll be able to send students for the auto mechanic program as well. And that's a big goal for us. We have students to go to CODE-RVA, also the Governor School at SVCC. And those kids come out of there, not only do kids here have the opportunity to earn an associate's degree, but our students who attend the Gov School also get that opportunity. And then we have a lot of CTE offerings, probably not by the standards of like a Chesterfield or something like that, but for a small rural school, we have a lot of opportunities for our kids, because another goal is to grow their ability to go out of high school, and if they don't want to go to college, have some kind of trade or some kind of working experience to grow.
So before we get into the numbers, this is kind of just a snapshot of what it really breaks down to when you look at per student. I think it can be surprising sometimes when people see how much it costs to run a school and to provide for each student. I know we went through a lot of this with the change going into this year with variances. And you know, families from outside the county and then I'll pay for to come to the school, and when they looked at that dollar amount and they had questions about it, really we were only looking at what that local share part was, to take that off of y'all from past years where, you know, we accepted it and y'all helped with the share there. It's actually only that local part. When you look at, when you break it down by the staffing, your utility needs, your maintenance, constructionals, your gas that goes into it, utilities, all that stuff, it really it adds up when we look at it by student. Just a disclaimer, I start this with all our budget things, just a reminder of the overview of what we're working with. So this budget that we're proposing is based off of the governor's initial proposal back in December, that's Governor Youngkin. As we move forward, our General Assembly has had a chance to look at it. Each the House of Delegates and the State Senate have released their versions. They're currently working in committee to come up with a joint one. So once that process is done, that goes back to our new governor to have also can make amendments, vetoes to it. So why do we say that? As you all know, at the county levels, you wait on your budgets. This is very much subject to change, but this current budget is based off of what we have and what we know and what we're projecting.
So are there any questions? What we did this time is kind of broke it into chunks. So didn't know if there would be any questions at this point. I know we're early on, but we've broken it into chunks with little discussion pieces. So if there are questions, we can address them. Any questions so far? Okay.
Funding metrics, what goes into the state funding, local matches? So our state funding comes from our ADN, that's our average daily membership. So they look at how many students we have coming to school on average, and that's where they make up their number for how much the state is going to fund us. The big number there is whatever our ADM is on March 31st of that school year. That's the number they're looking at to finalize that budget for the current year. So what does that mean for us now? Meaning at the end of this month, for this year's budget, we've been operating on, you know, what we believe we're getting. But once they look at that number, we could actually be cut state funding, or in certain cases, like last year, we could get additional state funding with that. For the local composite index, that's y'all's portion there. As Mr. Stamey so eloquently said at, I think, y'all's last meeting, if anyone could really break down the nuts and bolts of this calculation, they could probably take it on tour. But this number here, it's a three-year average. It takes into account your true value of your real property, your adjusted gross income, and your taxable real retail sales. Now, with that number, what they come up with is what they have is the locality's minimum amount that they would be able to give towards the schools. That's the minimum number. Ours right now for Cumberland County is 0.3367. This is a slight uptick from what it was at 0.3323. The thing with that, in that equation, as you see, the schools play no part in the state equation for LCI. We don't factor into it. We don't have a say in it. We're not encompassing that equation there. So when we look at the total revenues that we're looking at for this budget, state funding there at the $14 million, looks like someone either typed too fast or has fat fingers. I'm not going to say which it was. Maybe it was a combination. All right. The state funding, again, that's their number based on their ADM. They're projecting us at 1,131 students next year. I feel, unless something drastic changes, I feel confident we're going to be at above that number a bit, but we're still using that for budgeting to not put any undue stress on the locality with the match portion. For local funding, we're putting this in operating at the LCI minimum. All right, so you're going to hear that a lot tonight. All we're looking for from the localities in this is the limit, the local composite index minimum number. We're not looking for a dollar more. I'd say a penny more, but we don't have pennies anymore. All right, so that's all we're operating this budget on. That's all we're looking for from the counties to meet that. We'll get into more detail moving on why that's so important for us as we put together our budget and we serve the students of our county. Federal funding there at the $2 million, a little over $2 million mark. Other funds, this could be a mix of different things. Might be surplus items, might be rebates we put in for. It's a small portion when you look at the big picture, but we can still do a lot with that money. Little visual breakdown for you there just to kind of put it together. Now, where we balance with the state and local funds there, the state's goals, when it works with each county, they want a 55 to 45 ratio in there. All right, as you see, we're a little heavier on the state. We don't ask a lot from the county at a little over the quarter mark there. And that 10% for federal funds, that's a big portion. So if you look at across the Commonwealth, if you get in that 10 to 12% range, you're some of the higher areas there. What does that come from? Director Dingledine, you might take the next slide. Is these federal funds and grant monies come in there. All right, we don't have a grant writer on staff. That's because I think everyone in this room and a whole bunch of people who aren't here have all had a hand in writing grants for us. We're constantly doing that. This past week alone, Dr. Allman, our curriculum instruction, submitted a grant. Her and I are working on another one that should be probably submitted by this week or next week. Ms. Shores, Director Dingledine, myself, Dr. Jamerson, we're working on a grant currently. The elementary just had some paperwork. Administration and teacher work got a grant for some playground equipment. We're constantly looking for funds to help our school and to take pressure off of our locality so that we don't have to come to you and ask for large sums above that local, that minimum required amount there. Some things that we, and this is not all of it, but some of the bigger items that we paid for this year with grant money or federal funds that, again, we've applied for. And I don't know if anyone in here has written grants. I don't know if Mr. Steen has. If you've never written a grant, It's a joy, right? It's a ton of work, it's a ton of documentation, and once you get it, in order to get those funds, it's a ton of work to make sure you're getting them. So some things we do with this, we pay for all our staff for one of our pre-K classes. For those that don't know, especially in areas like Cumberland, all right, your lower academic, the sooner you can get students in and get that instruction, the bigger impact you can have on them for the rest of their academic lives. Our before and after school tutoring programs is completely covered by federal funds. I didn't put it in there. Half of our summer school program is through federal funds, grants that we have applied for. We have learning and behavior interventionist positions, again, that we're not having the county pay for, that we're seeking grants to help pay for these positions. We use it for class size reduction, where we can bring on another teacher to lower those class sizes. We're going to talk a little bit more about the impact of class size reduction for students. We've made tons of safety upgrades to our schools through this, technology upgrades, and a huge portion of the instructional materials, curriculum that we purchase through the schools, we're getting through grant funds, federal funds, that we are seeking out, applying for, and following very strict guidelines to make sure we can access that money. Some fund disbursements here, the process. Ms. Cruz is here, so I'm sure she can correct me if I'm wrong on some of this, but I just wanted to go through how this kind of works with it. When it comes to these funds or these dollar amounts, sometimes you see very large numbers there. The school is not giving this money up front. So if the state, you know, gives us $15 million, we don't get $15 million in a year to spend how we want. All right, and there's very specific items in there, maintenance of efforts, matches that we have to spend in those categories to make sure we're still accessing all of that. So as we purchase for the month, we send those bills in to the county. The county holds the bank account. The schools does not hold the bank accounts there. Each month, the state is dispersing that money out in portions to the county for the school system. We cover all our bills with whatever state funds are there first. We pay all state funds. Whatever is left remaining is when then we come into the local funds to help cover the rest of those bills. And then federal funds, again, we don't get this up front. It's reimbursement based. So we are fronting the bill and then putting in for reimbursement on those. Very strict guidelines with those, so it takes a real village to do that, because any minor things off with that, or you're not following to a T, you just spent money that you're not able to get back. For turn back funds, so the school, again, we spend out all of our state funds first that we get. Whatever remaining local funds are left would be the turn back money there. Turn back funds benefit the schools and the county immensely. Since Superintendent Shores and I are taking on these new positions, we've reached out to many superintendents, directors of finance, other schools to get an idea of what they do. It is very common practice, and what we hear over and over is how much that partnership with the county and the schools on turnback funds for capital improvement and transportation benefits both groups. Why is that? Because these capital improvement projects that come up are huge dollar amounts. So instead of us coming every year and asking for an extra $500,000 or $1 million, we have that built in. Some of the areas that can impact your turn back, how much money's there, that March 31st ADM, like we talked about, could be cut, could go up. Unfilled positions, new hires. All right, we put in there, you know, 16% of our student populations are students with disabilities. Why do we mention that? Good or bad, it's more expensive. All right, we are always just one transfer student, new student away from having to hire an entire new staff member. That's salary, that's benefits, that's everything that comes with it. All right, so that can drastically change what money you have. And then the unexpected facility costs. This year, DEQ comes in from the state, looks at the transportation, has been there 4 years. They decide mandatory, these are the things you need to fix now. You have X amount of months to do it, $30,000. Boiler part goes wrong in the complex, that's a $20,000 fix. And as of today, or hot off the presses, that we were all looking at this afternoon, you know, cold, potentially cold, The control panel at the elementary school is...
On the verge of...
On the verge of going out, and we got the first estimate in, and it was $320,000. So while you're operating under these things, you might not have a teacher position filled or whatever it is, you're only one thing away from something coming up that you need to address there. So if there are times and you have that turn back funds and that cushion there between you and the county, that's where it can really benefit you.
And these aren't things, oh, I guess that's a good point. These aren't things we've really planned on. You know, it's no one plans on a control panel going out on your boiler system. And the part in the high school cafeteria that we replaced was a refurbished part. And so we got fortunate because the actual new part for that would have been over $100,000. So it's finding ways to make it work. Now, in the case of the boiler system at the elementary school, a used part isn't necessarily an option for that because it's the brains of the operation, and that brain has to go out into all the other classrooms. So the big piece of that is you're having to replace this, but then all the other pieces that come off of that also have to be replaced in all those classrooms. So those aren't things that we've really planned on. The DEQ stuff at the transportation office, I don't think we saw that coming because they hadn't been here for several years to do an inspection. And we've done, I think, everything on there except for replacing the gas pumps. Is that? Yeah, so we've covered most of that right now, and they didn't say that was necessarily had to happen right now, but there's a chance that that's coming down the road. So they're not things we really planned on, and I don't know how many positions we'd have to vacate to fix that boiler system at the elementary school. Any questions about any of that stuff so far, or discussion on it?
Okay. Lucy, can you touch on what some of the aspects of the control panel were discussed?
So the control panel, so for instance, here's how it was explained to me is, if your classrooms are set right now at 70 degrees, probably 68 because this time of year you keep it at 68. But if that control panel goes out completely tomorrow, the classrooms that are set on 68 are stuck at 68 regardless. There's no regulation. So let's say, you know, you're cold natured and you have your house set at 75 degrees. Well, in the summertime when it's 95, you don't want your house to still be 75. So that's what's happening. And then the way Ashby explained it is, so if there's a box in every classroom that connects to that. Mm-hmm. So if one box goes out and they replace it, then they've got to reconnect it to that the brains of the operation. Well, we have one new box left. So as soon as that box is gone, and it's an older system, so that they don't make it anymore. So that's what it is each one of those boxes has to be reconnected back. So if we have to put a new brain in there, then we have to get new boxes in all the classrooms.
So it's the environmental control.
Yes.
System, not security.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is to know when you talk about the 16% special ed kids, you can have one child's IEP that state that, say, an elementary, the library, the lunchroom, and that child's classroom has to be set at a certain temperature, mm-hmm. say due to seizures or whatever. It's usually medically necessary. It usually comes with a doctor's note, but there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear that, I go.
Any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Jeffrey D. So here's the things that we're working on right now, our impacts and considerations. We are projected right now for an 11% increase in our health insurance rates. We will have a better idea of that probably next week. We're meeting with our current benefits broker, but we're also meeting with, we put out for RFQ so that we could get the best service that we can possibly get at the best price. So we have meetings with both vendors that responded to that next week to look at what they offer and who does it most efficiently and for the least amount of money. So that's what we have to figure, though, as we do this budget, is this 11% increase. And in my experience in my previous life doing HR in Hopewell, if it was 10%, it was $500,000. So that impacts your budget drastically. Cost of materials and supplies are increasing. I don't think that's a shock to anybody. A projected decrease in federal funding, I mean, that's kind of been a bit of a trend. So we have to take that into account and make sure that we are adequately requesting what we need. And we've really made what we call a skinny budget. There's not a whole lot of fluff in this. So, you know, if Dr. Wheeler decides she wants to put a new like scoreboard into the football field, that would probably be out based on the budget that we're projecting here. We've gone as skinny as we can go and took out a lot of the fluff. Duty to provide sufficient offerings for our students. Not every kid is going to college. And I don't think every kid should feel like that's the expectation. Some of them are going to go out into the workforce. Some of them are going to want to go into the military. So we've got to provide offerings to hit the needs and the interests of those students. So, you know, that's one of those things where when you look at a position, is it something that we have to have? Maybe not, but how many kids do we impact if we take it away? The need to meet our basic operating costs, which tend to grow. And then the continued facility upkeep and maintenance. So all of those things play a big part in our budget impact, in our budget considerations. Our big focus is staff recruitment and retention. If we can retain people, we don't have to recruit. We were looking at the cost. Let's say we lose 5 teachers. The cost to retrain or to train that new hire, to go out, recruit them, hire them, and train them is between $12,000 and $24,000 per new hire. So it's more efficient for us to be able to keep our people than it is for us to have people leaving and we have to replace them. Our transportation fleet needs a lot of help. We've been kind of piecing things together. It's been a while since we've gotten new buses. But for instance, we know that if they're recommending you need to buy 2 new buses every year, and we haven't done that for a few years, we're probably 6 to 8 buses behind in that cycle right now. So that's got to be something that we prioritize. Maintaining excellence in our schools, and that looks a lot of different ways. It can be from the person that you're putting in that classroom to impact the kids, to the opportunities that they have in there, to the facilities that they are in. You don't want them in facilities that are run down, that have opportunities for kids to get injured as they're walking those halls. So we want to maintain that excellence. Keeping the lights on in the buses running, that's always a challenge. And being able to access state funding through the local share. So that's a really big piece. I think Mr. Hamlet said the other day, I'm always trying to make sure we get all the free money we can get. You know, that means we've got to be able to hit what we can hit locally so that we can get what the state is saying that we'll get if we meet that. Do you want this or do you want me to got it?
I got it?
Okay. So this is...
You tell me.
Our current budget has built in a 2.5% salary increase for all of our full-time employees. The budget from December of 25 was 2%. The state senate is proposing a 3%. Last year, we were not able to meet the 3% raise for our staff, so we got the 1.5%. So that extra 0.5% you see there was really our hope to be able to catch up just a little bit. So, but on the flip side of that, if we've got the budget between 2% and 3%, we're probably going to end up breaking even with that 2.5%. And this was a big deal. You know, it was something that was said to me was, well, we give you the money and it's up to you to spend it how you need to. Well, that's great until you have all these things you have to meet a local match on before you can access the other funds. So it doesn't really work that way. Offsetting the health insurance costs. Right now, we're trying to keep it so that there's no additional cost to our employees, all of them across the board. So that's really, those are our compensation packages for our students, or for our teachers, I'm sorry, our staff. All right, our goal right now is 2 new school buses. The state is recommending 2 new buses each year. It's been 3 years since we've purchased a new bus. And we had to cut 2 buses out last year, several years ago, I think, and Fonz, you might know better, we bought some used buses, but the problem that comes with buying a used bus is you're inheriting someone else's used problem. So that's been a big issue. This year we had a bus just recently. There's probably been a few of them, but recently we had one that needed a part that was fairly expensive. So we had the surplus buses down below, and we're getting ready to have those taken out, and we're selling those so that we can recoup that money for that part that we have to put in that bus. So we're trying to be good managers of our company. Staffing. So these are the things that are really important. So in our student services, you know, it's really important to be able to maintain those, especially for our most needy populations. A lot of our exceptional students range from kids who need a lot of support to kids who need to be challenged more. So it's not just kids that have problems, but it's also those kids that we need to push and be able to provide additional services for to continue to keep them engaged. And we want to maintain all of these opportunities for our kids, the extracurriculars, the CTE offerings. I would love to grow that for our kids, because there's a lot of careers out there where we don't have people to work those because they're not getting that background that they need. You know, in partnering with SBCC, I've learned a lot about that this year. That is really a great resource. And our kids really enjoy the welding programs there. They enjoy the HVAC. Auto mechanic is something our kids have been asking for forever, and a long time ago we had it here. So I'm hoping we'll be able to partner with them and send kids there. It's just going to look different for our students. And then keeping our facilities and grounds intact. A lot of the value of a community is seen in the pride that is taken in their schools. People look at the schools and decide whether or not they're going to move into an area sometimes because are they well maintained? Does the community care about what that looks like? Is the community welcomed into the school? So those are all things that we want to continue to grow and maintain. Any questions on any of that?
I have two things.
Yes.
First, I believe when I said free money, I did use air quotes.
Yeah, you did. He did. Yes, he did.
That's right. And then when you were talking about this 2.5% salary increase, did you just say full-time, or is that including part-time?
So the state requires it for your SOQ positions.
Okay.
We would do it for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't, but the state is only requiring it for SOQs.
But are you asking, is it for also, will we include anybody that's part-time under that? Is that what you're asking about?
Correct.
Yeah. It also, I mean, all of our employees would benefit from that 2.5%.
Right.
Yes.
Anything else?
How much is a school bus?
A cheap one?
$150,000?
Well, they were $150,000, now they're closer to
$160,000.
We just got two quotes. It was $157,000.
They're not electric, are they?
Although, a few years back, we did look into that, what it was actually going to cost us more.
Yeah. The other type of buses are natural gas, and they are running a little bit higher.
The 2.5% raise, do you know the delta? So in other words, if you were to stay flat with no raises, what's that delta between what you think you would pay if it was flat versus the 2.5%?
Oh, gosh, do you have that?
If we weren't going to, it would be about close to $800,000.
Okay.
It's 700. I can get you the exact number.
Yeah, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Yeah. I'm curious. So, okay.
And the big piece with that is staying competitive. Yep. We actually do pretty well here in Cumberland, but last year Appomattox County gave a 7% increase in their pay scales to catch us.
Wow.
Because we were setting a standard. So they went, instead of 3%, went 7%.
And was it last year or the year before? Goochland went 11.
Yes. So I guess what that means is our neighboring counties are catching us and will eventually pass us. And they're going to pull our good people away.
And we had, and with that, for the finance, I'm in the VASBO group, so it's all the division finance people, and currently right now, they're putting out surveys to get information to not just our surrounding areas, but the majority of the places, they're looking at that 2%, and everyone's looking to go quite a bit over it. So, and that's for everything. They're looking at stipends, your coaches, every position, and trying to bump those up. You know, we wish we could do more. If things change with budgets and what they have for us, that'd be great. Like Ms. Shore said, you know, we'd like to chip away at the 1.5 that we didn't weren't able to get last year, where others passed. But you know, we hope to keep maintaining that.
Okay.
And the health insurance is a huge part of that, because you could raise someone's salary 2%, but if their health insurance, you know, they're covering half of the 11% increase, you know, they're not making out of it. So absorbing that 11% is a big part of that as well.
And I think we have a competitor to the south of us who's probably going to do a good bit with his teacher salaries for this upcoming year.
So we wonder who that might be.
Yeah. So we don't want to take in our good people.
And I'm sorry, one more question. If you're absorbing the health insurance, what is that delta between remaining flat?
So it's the 11. Now this number's changed, because they were telling us 20%.
Sure.
Right now we saw 11%. It was like doing backflips. So yeah.
Health insurance and meteorologists, I want those jobs, right?
He did the backflips. I just watched.
Okay, 11, we only have to go up 11%. So that is in the, it's below half a million, it's in the 400,000 range.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking these questions, board members, is if you look at the school transfer last year to this year, it's about a 5.5% increase, which is $316,928, which is the cost of two new school buses. So my point is, for you to be able to do the 2.5% raise and absorb health insurance, bake in two buses with the LCI increase from one year to the next, it's pretty darn good. So we just got to figure out how to get there. So.
Any other discussion? Questions? Jeffrey?
So getting into our expenditures and what we're looking at, no surprise there, our expenditure matches exactly what we're predicting for revenue, because again, we're not trying to go over any of the minimum amounts there. Mr. Spiegelbein, if you could go to the next slide. If you're all like me, I'm a little more visual, it's a little easier to look at. So, no surprise there. Instruction makes up the huge majority of our budget. We are a school system. All right, what's in there is things from school supplies, materials, curriculums, textbooks, digital subscriptions, our teacher salaries, benefits. I think a lot of times, you know, you see that salary number, but you're not, thinking about all those other things that fall into it with FICA and everything else. Our next part of that, the next largest part is our operations and maintenance, keeping the school running, keeping the lights on, fixing what we need to, our transportation. Everyone sees the gas prices. I think you're running out buses out there. We do provide after school. Those are double routes we're running. You think of athletics, all of that. And then our administration, attendance, and health, they're at the 7%. That income, not just the administration, that's our health, so that's all our nurses, that's medical supplies for the schools, following our attendants, these are office administrative assistants, these are things you will think about, a postage of your office supplies, our power school, so we have attendants, you have your records of all the students that you have to keep and you have to keep secure. That all falls under that. Administration, attendance, and health. And what I would encourage, and if I'm speaking out of place, I'm sure Ms. Shores will tell me afterwards, but I would encourage anyone to go onto school websites of any of our neighboring divisions, look at any comparable school sizes of us, and compare their administrative staff to what Cumberland County Schools is doing.
Maybe to the south?
So, easy.
Sorry, I had to say it. Because I used to actually bring it to him and show it to him.
Yeah. So there's a lot is done within this realm there. All right.
Wait, can we get back to that?
Yes.
Yeah. I totally missed that. I'm sorry.
All good.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, so access to full state funding through the local share. So as promised, we're going to revisit this a bit here. But as a reminder, we're looking for that minimum required amount, okay? What this helps us do is access a whole bunch of other, we use air quotes, I'm going to keep it going, of the free money. If you can hit what you're able to get in. So the things that we would have to cut if we could not hit that local share in the different areas, if you look here, so if we don't hit it, then we don't get it, right? So that money has to be there in order to access it. Otherwise,
it's gone.
We don't get that money. So things that impacts, that's larger class sizes for our students, all right, and an increase in that teacher-student ratio. throw a dart out anywhere, and you're going to hit probably 20 different studies on the impacts of class size and teacher-to-student ratio there. We would lose out that at-risk funding, our CRS K-3 funding, class size reduction funding. So we would have to cut teachers there, which would increase our class sizes within it. We have to cut two pre-K classes. Our currently, again, we talked a little bit about before, the impact of getting our students in earlier to schools. Our pre-K program is almost completely funded by either federal grants that we've applied for or by hitting our VPI, Virginia Preschool Initiative local share. If we can't hit it, that's cutting half of our pre-K school offerings for our children and our parents in our county. Technology, a bunch of the technology we purchase comes from VPSA. Those are match funds that we get from the state. The staff impacts on staff recruitment and retention. All right, we can't keep the competitive salary up. All right, increased benefits. Ms. Shores talked about that impact that has on us. The loss of career exposure, the career readiness that we're preparing our students for a local rural area that we have for our kids. Those CTE programs, they're not in the SOQ. All right, these things that we're trying to prepare students for to get out there, that's not included in there. And just loss of funds for maintenance and operations. Like I said, some of you are here with us touring the facilities, looking at what we have. That's a big part of it. Our return on investment there, it's benefiting, again, it's not the school's kids, it's not the county, these are all of our students. This is our county's children that come, right? So what this benefits for our county is, one, just the student achievement, all right, what they're able to achieve, learn, grow, next steps, college, careers, military, our workforce pipeline that's coming out, the return on business, the teacher retention, as Ms. Shores talked about, the funds that costs to bring these people in. Not to mention, the biggest thing that's going to impact any kids or student achievement is the human being who's standing in front of them in the classroom. All right, so keeping those people in there, our community stability, our proud values growth. First thing, all right, we've all maybe been other places, we moved places. The first thing any family's going to look at, we see a ton of houses going up in the county, which is awesome. To get families here, they're going to look at your schools, right? Any of the businesses wanting to come in,
and your infrastructure.
They're going to look at your schools.
Your Wi-Fi.
Okay. Yeah. I should have looked at that before I moved here. That's what you're looking at, all right? What is your workforce going to be? Your schools. This is a huge partnership. We have our HOSA ladies there, our nursing program. There's so many opportunities we're able to give to the students that give back to the community, to go out in the community. It's a real partnership that benefits all of us.
And we just want to thank you. I mean, you guys have been a great partner thus far. I've only been back in the county this is my third year, but I taught here for the first 9 years of my career. And it was always a good relationship where the schools and the county trusted one another to support each other, and that's what we want to continue to grow and harvest, is that relationship of trust and working together. So we can't predict everything that's going to happen. I wish we could. I tell Dr. Jones all the time, he knew all this stuff was going to break, and that's why he left us. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be the one here to handle it. But the reality of it is we don't want to be that partner that comes to you with a handout saying, oh, and by the way, we didn't take this into account, so we need another $320,000 to fix a boiler system. We want to be able to look at that and know where things are and predict that or project that so that we're prepared for it. We've also talked about bringing someone in to kind of do an assessment of all of our facilities and give us a plan. Where are we with things? How can we prevent these big breaks that may be preventable? So getting an assessment done and a plan for maintenance. I'm big on preventative maintenance. So if we can prevent that, we get our oil changed in our car for a reason. Same thing with other things. You know, you get it fixed so you prevent a bigger problem later. So we really thank you for that partnership, and we want you to know how much we appreciate that. So any questions, comments, concerns? More digging you want us to do?
I've got a comment, a great presentation. I think y'all did an awesome job tag team there. And, very informative.
We just wanted to be thorough with that. We've talked about this a lot, the administrative staff, just talking about how can we let you know that we value what you allow us to do here. I'm passionate about public education. I've got two kids that have done different things here. My son came here, went to Gov School. He's over in Goochland County as a law enforcement officer. My daughter went to school. COVID hit. She got a whole different route to travel, and I homeschooled her last couple of years. But it was always that, Mom, I really miss playing volleyball, or I miss having that interaction with my friends. So I've seen it from both sides. My dad was an elementary school teacher. I grew up in a house that valued education, and for me, it's an opportunity to give the community something that I know that they're giving us. We all have an opportunity to benefit from the surroundings. I love a rural county, and I just want the kids here to have the opportunity to appreciate and continue to prosper here, not somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, what our big focus has been.
And I just want to say thank you, guys. It is the position that y'all sit in every year. It's hard to know and see kind of both sides, right, a little bit. I know every house that goes up in this county costs the county more money. The tax dollars don't, that doesn't break it even. It's nowhere close. So it's this beautiful catch-22 of bringing in people. When they come in here, that we have to educate them. Then they need more police, and they need more rescue, and they need more services. So it's a double-edged sword, and it costs money, and we get that. And we've said that before. We know that. I've been on the board long enough. We have done things where if you guys came back to us and said, we've done things in partnerships with, Rika, you probably remember some of them, with payrolls, and we've tried so many different things to be a good team. I really appreciate the presentation. I love the teacher piece with time for discussion built in. Makes my heart happy. And then the other thing is I did get a little treat made, and there's some cookies back by one of our local. Jeff has been drooling probably since the
end.
Oh, okay. And they are made by the first name is Nicole. She has Kitten's Cookies. She's a local person. She brought us some cookies to say thank you for school board for us. I thought that was really nice. So we brought some for y'all. I almost had to make dollar bills, but I decided you might not think that's
And real quick, a really cool thing. They put a flyer on everybody's table.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about that.
Dr. Jamerson was the mastermind behind this, but we're fortunate enough, the state superintendent of schools and the secretary of education are going to come visit us next week. On that 12th at 3 o'clock, from 3 to 4:30, they're doing a stakeholder roundtable. If that's something you're interested in, reach out to me by the end of the day tomorrow, because I've got to get you on a list for them because they want to know who's going to be in that room with them. But from 6 to 7:30, that's what this flyer is about. They're coming in. They're doing a listening tour, and we're hosting it for all of Region 8, and we're really excited about that. But that's because we have amazing teachers. Last year's Region 8 Teacher of the Year was a Cumberland Middle School teacher. So that's how we get fortunate enough to be able to host this event. So mark your calendars and come on out.
And there's a whole other box. There should be enough for others in the audience. If you didn't get the flavor you like, go back and look again. I had to make
or
a couple dozen.
Or get both flavors.
Huh?
Get all the flavors.
Or get all of whatever you need. But we really do appreciate entire partnership, and we just, I want to see the school system continue to be the, and I think we're getting there over the years I've been doing this. We're starting to be a draw for the community. You know, they, people are coming here to live, and they're sending their kids to school here. You know, and we're seeing, the sad thing is when we're a little tiny county like we are, well, land acre-wise maybe not, but, you know, people-wise we are. When you have a child who comes in with special needs, you have to accept them, you have to accept the IEP as it came in. She's like, preach. And sometimes you think they come with all this money and they don't. They come with an IEP that says they have to have a nurse, they have to have a this, they have to have a that. And another piece that I have to tell Ms. Ford and her special ed team that I'm very grateful for is you have somehow managed, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, to maintain not having some of the advocates come to the county that do not support the county. What they do is, and we, I've dealt with one a lot where I currently work, they come in and their mission is not to actually work for what's right for the children. They come in to work for, you know, they come in to work for how can we make our presence known. So if the county, say as a school system, we said, okay, we know your child has extra special needs and we will help you this way and we'll give you these things. No, no, no. We want to take you to court and we want to sue you because we want to drain your county of resources. And unfortunately, then that becomes a it's a bigger us picture. Right now, Powhatan is actually their school board. So proud of that school board. Has a lawsuit against them. And I'm very proud of them for doing that, for staying there. But they had to meet with their board of supervisors to know they could do it. Does that make sense? But
it's
they're not doing it.
They're recording.
They're doing it. What's wrong?
Well, I saw this, and we've been looking for our remote, and so I thought it was a remote. I realize now it's their recorder.
My bad. I just muffled for part of that.
You can thank me later.
So, disclosure, if you're listening, and you got to this point.
We see how this works.
Well, I could have just sat on that chair, and it would have been muffled the whole time.
So, or do we have anything else this evening?
Great presentation.
Yes, we will be back here again on Thursday.
Yes.
Not here. 6 o'clock, yes. We have our time, don't we? May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Raise your hand if you're in agreement. All right, guys.
And come on board, supervisors. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Hanlon?
Aye.
Mr. Newman?
Aye.
Ms. Tyree?
Aye.
Mr. Stimson?
Aye.
Mr. Songs?
Aye.
Let me wrap that for you.